One, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern, the 13th of August, 2020, and I'm going to play a clip which is going to talk, I believe, hopefully this is the right clip, that it will talk about the PCR tests, and that's the test they use for the coronavirus. And it never was meant to test for a single virus, which is what they're using it for now because they have a greater opportunity to come up with a positive test. And I believe the people behind all of this want to create the lockdown situation in order to damage the U.S. economy. I think we're in the initial stages of what you could call a war, and this is the unconventional part of it. So let's listen.
Public influenza awareness campaigns preceding every flu season. Sales of the flu vaccine began skyrocketing, bringing in billions of dollars to the manufacturers, all for something that kills, on average, less than 100 people a year. In 2007, the New York Times published an article entitled "Faith in Quick Test Leads to Epidemic That Wasn't." It explains how the same PCR tests being used now for COVID-19 misdiagnosed over 100 healthcare workers in New Hampshire and rang the bell for a whooping cough epidemic that turned out to just be the common cold. The PCR tests were never meant to detect a specific virus. Yet, they are being used today to detect COVID-19. The CDC even admits that the PCR test will detect any viral infection as COVID-19, including the common cold. The current data from the CDC on COVID-19 shows the same fakery that we have seen so far. Just as the CDC falsely counted pneumonia deaths as influenza deaths in the past, they are now counting both pneumonia and influenza as COVID-19. You can see it clearly in the CDC's own data. Beginning in the end of March, right after the shutdown began in the U.S., pneumonia and influenza deaths dropped to zero, just as COVID deaths began to surge. COVID-19 is a quantifiable hoax. After years of unchecked big pharma fraud, we are witnessing their greatest swindle yet. And the amount of people wearing the mask only illustrates how effective their scam is. Will the mask wearers take the experimental vaccine for fear of what amounts to be the common cold? For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
So I don't know if you caught that or not, but the PCR test will show a positive test for pretty much any virus that you have. So you'll come up as positive for COVID-19 when you may have the common cold or something else that really isn't so dangerous. So, and I've heard this from other sources, particularly Dr. Rashid Buttar. He's a very good one to listen to if you want to listen to him. I'm going to try to find another short, real short clip in here, which I think is also very interesting.
Destroying the nation in the process. And so what will the Justice Department and the Pentagon and all the good old boys do? They'll sit there and play golf and try to act like they're on both sides and just hope it isn't too big a disaster because none of them will stick their head up above the grass. And because of that, we're now a laughingstock and a corrupt, weak system like the Soviet Union. But does he deserve Trump? And I'm not trying to be negative here. It's just that there's a normalcy bias with people that just think, oh, Kamala Harris, a total fraud, polls at 1%, she's a joke. They're going to contest the election. They're going to then say that the states are seceding along the popular vote. They've said they're going to have their own inauguration for Biden and Kamala Harris in some undisclosed location. I played Pelosi yesterday. They're not joking. They're not joking. And when they try to burn down federal courthouses and shoot police officers, if the police fight back, they'll be arrested, so the police are going to stand down. And if citizens go out and fight back, the news will say we're terrorists. Hollywood, the mainstream media, the whole culture, it's all globalist, hate America, all making its move now. It will blow up in their face. It will be a disaster. It will trigger a bloody civil war that will be Alexander Soros and George Soros' final countdown and final Waterloo. But there's no reason to let this happen. If every person, it's extremely politically active, if every person listening tells people about this show and this live feed and these topics, and if we make other talk radio and Fox News cover this and make the president take it head on, they'll have to back down. And I know a blueprint to stop them. We'll cover it when we come back.
So you heard it there. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he's wrong. I think they're planning to have certain states secede from the Union in the event that Trump wins the re-election. Now, why would I think this is possible? Well, what does it say in Contact Report 215? Civil wars and anarchy in America. Yet the misery on earth will continue as two terrible civil wars will break out in America, whereby one will follow the other. So we might be this fall going to see the beginning of the first one. Afterwards, the United States will break apart and deadly hostility will prevail among her, which then leads to the division into five different territories. So when the civil war is all said and done, there'll be five different territories. Really interesting, because now we have LA, which you could think of one territory. We have Pacific Northwest, like Seattle and Portland. That might be another territory. We have the New York area, which is also a very liberal place. It'd be the third area. And then I don't know what they would do. They would call the center and kind of northeast, which would take in Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, Alabama, maybe even, and then the South would be the two other sections. I probably have to draw this up. Who knows? I've always been hoping that this wouldn't happen, but it just seems like we're getting closer and closer. And it cannot be prevented that sectarian fanatics will play a dictatorial role. Anarchy will be the worldwide condition that will prevail and torment human beings over a long period of time. So we must be going in to that period of anarchy. But we can control our own thoughts. So maybe that can help keep us from falling into this too much. As human beings, we'll also be tormented by many epidemics and diseases. We are there with the COVID-19. It's just a matter of how severe you think it is, and probably depends on who you are and, you know, what kind of nutrition you have and what kind of state your body's in. Some people it's probably not dangerous. Some people it's probably very dangerous. Many of them new and unknown to human beings, and for this reason incurable. Due to this fact, the bodies of many human beings will slowly and miserably decay, while unbearable pain will also occur, as well as blindness and terrible respiratory problems that lead to suffocation. That would be COVID-19 as well. The consciousness of many human beings will become impaired, and I think we're seeing that more and more, and succumb to a feeble-mindedness and insanity. And all these gruesome occurrences will be traceable to biological and chemical weapons. I think even the Meyer case is saying that COVID-19 was a biological weapon as well. It'd be interesting if we're going to see more chemical weapons, which are the cause of not fast but gruesome and slow deaths. And this will occur due to the use of ray and frequency weapons like 5G. Which are already being developed today. Finally, the words of Henoch may be specifically mentioned, which include that mankind of Earth, in pursuit of technology for mass destruction and greed, power, hatred, vengeance, and riches will ignore all values of creation and will trample upon the values of love, wisdom, freedom, and peace as ancestors of the Hennock lineage have done before. To plunge the world into screaming misery, death, destruction, and annihilation, and into the most severe catastrophes mankind of Earth will ever have experienced. So that's what we're about to face, unless we can control our thoughts and start to pull this together. Remember the creational natural laws, the law of effective love, live and help live. Remember, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic to creation, particularly creation's love. So if you're in a relationship that has love that seems illogical, it's probably because it's the romantic kind of love. We're looking for effective love, spiritual love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So we do exist in absolute logic. I call it the second creational law. It's called striving in the book, The Way to Live. Striving comes in many forms. It comes in, you know, your day job, whatever that might be. It's reading, learning, exercise, you know, maintenance of, you know, simple things like organizing your closet, sweeping out your garage, taking care of your pets. All of these are part of striving. We're always trying to improve ourselves and continuing to strive. And that's down to the last building block, the creation. The universal consciousness is said to be devoted to the striving. And the universal consciousness is a Wesenheit. It has more in common with stones and sand and certain kinds of energies. It's similar in some respects to passive life in some ways. We've talked about metals being example of passive life or stone. Not that creation doesn't move. It does. It has great movements. But it has no personality. Like a human being or an animal is considered a Wesen. We have a personality. We have a free will. Sometimes we follow the creational law. Sometimes we don't. Creation is locked into following the creational laws. The other creational law is the law of harmony, maintaining our neutral, positive, equalized, and balanced thought process, which we'll talk about again here in a second. And system and order, we live our lives with a rigid schedule. We follow a rigid schedule. Your life should be structured in that way, with your first priority striving, and maybe your second priority is the harmonious thinking. And love should, of course, is, you know, what does it say? Wisdom and love go together. The creation and its laws are wisdom and love at the same time. So as we strive for more wisdom, and we do it in a neutral, positive way, we should see a natural expression of love that comes, and the more logical we are. Remember, we exist in absolute logic, then that falls into place as well. So, but we want to maintain our logic and the law of harmony while the United States goes into this anarchy. Who knows? Maybe we can pull out of it. Kind of looks like we're heading there. Just one note to remember again, that the human being has a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is controlled by the psyche. The psyche administers the spiritual consciousness. It kind of regulates it. We also have that's the material consciousness. The material consciousness, the psyche regulates, looks after, kind of controls, administers. The spiritual consciousness is the innermost creational self, and it's related to your spirit form. The spirit form leaves the spirit realm 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, and then it moves into the superior colliculus, the area of your brain that kind of integrates your senses. And your spirit form, which is said to be a tellstock, a fragment of creation, sends this power and this energy throughout your body. And the spirit form, the Geist form, as it's called in the German, is the source of your spiritual consciousness. Now, your spiritual consciousness, one of the things it will do is send impulses of wisdom to your material consciousness. And each lifetime, the material consciousness will be different. The spiritual consciousness, it grows, it learns, but it's the same spiritual consciousness that you've had since your first physical lifetime. Now, the material consciousness will be different every lifetime. You'll get a new personality. Your subconscious will have more evolutive values programmed into it, or a more complete set of evolutive values. Those are what come over from the previous life. Those evolutive values like love and wisdom and confidence and optimism and a sense of duty and ability to be logical and things like that. So each cycle of death and life, you're going to build up more of these evolutive values, because the spirit form never dies. It leaves the body and takes with it the spiritual, the material consciousness, and it goes in the spirit realm. And there's like a storage area sometimes called the overall consciousness block. And that's a work area. And the spirit form then will work on the spiritual consciousness or the material consciousness from the previous life. And it'll absorb everything that you've learned that's good for the next life, that's of value, of lasting value. So this is the process of living and evolving. And each lifetime you evolve a little farther, a little more, a little more, a little more. So that's kind of the big picture. And that's why we work hard at trying to learn as much as we can. We're striving to evolve our consciousness. That's really the purpose of our life. So anyway, more about feeling. Remember, the feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings are kind of slow moving. They're more peaceful. The emotions are very instantaneous. They're very fast. And they often, if the emotions are triggered, then the emotions, then you will end up taking actions like sometimes violence. Emotions can be very dangerous. The feelings are not. The feelings are designed to simplify things, to make life bearable. They help the thoughts to discharge their energy. The feelings should not be stifled. A lot of times feelings are stifled, and they should be. They manifest slowly. They deliver power to the psyche. This is a very important thing. As your feelings grow, and if they're neutral, positive, healthy feelings, they will empower your material consciousness. And if it were not for the feelings, the thoughts would be confused. So the feelings help keep order in the psyche. The Goblet of Truth, chapter 28, verse 1 says, "You, however, remain connected with your thoughts and feelings in fine fluidalness, in a swinging wave-based wise. Thus, everything sent out attracts through the interaction things of the same kind and come back to you." Might of Thoughts, page 104. Feelings are very important and therefore also extremely useful. Consequently, they must not be fought and eliminated. Particularly, I think males are taught to fight their feelings, which is a bad thing to do. Again, from Might of Thoughts, page 104. It must never be forgotten nor disregarded that feelings have an existential and thereby life-sustaining significance and function. For this reason, they are useful and should not be stifled and abolished nor manipulated. Feelings also help us process external and internal stimuli. You know, a lot of times we get too much stimulus, more stimulus than we can handle. And anxiety and doubt, they destroy knowledge. They are evil elements of disintegration, and it's a necessity that we rigorously exclude anxiety and doubt. Anxiety and doubt, doubtful thoughts, never lead to progress and success. Consequently, nothing which has a positive value can ever be achieved as a result of them. If you want to restore neutral positive thinking, try to, one of the things you can do is a wish dream, which Billy talks about, you know. Put your mind on something neutral. You're squirting, you're taking a hose, squirting out your garage, or you're raking your yard, or you're working out, or you're, you know, you're petting your cats, or you're something neutral. Take your mind off of whatever negative thoughts you're trapped in. The other thing you can do is talk to your consciousness. And I tell myself I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. This will help change your feelings and your thoughts, because you're actually sharing the thoughts that went in with writing, for example, this book, or some of the other Meyer writings like Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. So these thoughts, which you speak out loud, come back to the material consciousness, and they restore order, and your life should have order internally and order externally as much as possible. Create a schedule that you can follow, and this will help bring things around you into order. Family, friends, pets. It's amazing what that can do. So work to do these things, system in order. Daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the very same law of system and order. So create for yourself a schedule, and it'll push out purposelessness and aimlessness and disorder. That's what we want to do. Push out disorder. Bring in order. That's what it's really all about here. Also, try to avoid lower thoughts. They form lower feelings, lower habits, lower circumstances. If I want to say this in German, I'll give it a shot. Nedar Gedanken formen, Nedar Gefühlen, Nedar Gewohnheiten, Nedar Umstand. So the lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, lower circumstances. So we want to have higher thoughts, which is important. Now I wanted to switch over to contact report 248, which I think we might have started last time. And Billy and Ta are speaking. And Billy has some questions, and Pata says, certainly, meaning that he'll answer them. Billy says, good. Thanks. At the beginning of our contacts, Semyase gave me a variety of data relating to Venus and the Destroyer, as well as to various events on Earth and so on. The Destroyer is a comet that used to come through our system. here on the earth. And it used to cause big, big problems. It really messed up the earth. Anyway, let me continue here. It says, Tom says, this is known to me. At that time, my daughter only spent a short amount of time on the addressed events and incidents and wasn't sure of the data yet. From this, it arose that she did not know dates and events exactly, and she confused them with one another and otherwise made faulty statements, which Quetzal corrected. So I guess Semyasi must have gave Billy some incorrect information regarding the destroyer comet. So we'll continue here. I hope you're not hearing too much of the dogs in the background. Anyway, Billy says, I don't demand an apology, my friend, for I never regarded you as flawless superhumans. I only mention this because I wanted to know what reasons I should give to curious people who have corresponding questions if I'm asked about it, as this was even the case, although I didn't know that at the time. Semyasi only dealt with these things for a very short time. So I just said that she had probably somewhat mixed up the data and the facts, etc., out of misfortune. One was then also content with this explanation. But now, to another question. During the 150th contact report dated Saturday, the 10th of October, 1981, 3:15 a.m., Quetzal spoke on the fact that a small moon about 4 kilometers in diameter was torn away from Jupiter by the destroyer in the year 13,384 B.C. and was sent on a journey with which several smaller asteroids followed along. It was then said that the small moon would one day return to its place of origin, even to Jupiter, in order to then crash down on it. In addition, now the following earthly scientists have made the discovery that at present a small planetoid about 4 kilometers in diameter is approaching Jupiter on a collision course, accompanied by several asteroids following it. According to the scientific calculations, this small planetoid, which is called Shoemaker-Levy 9, and you've probably heard of Shoemaker-Levy 9 before, which is to crash down on Jupiter in the middle of the year in 1994, which it did. It was really interesting. If you look that up on YouTube, if you've never heard or seen Shoemaker-Levy 9, 4 big explosions on Jupiter, pretty amazing. It's to crash down on Jupiter in the middle of the year 1994, just beyond the horizon that is visible from the Earth. Is this small planetoid the small moon mentioned by Quetzal, which went on a journey from Jupiter in the year 13,384 BC, which now celebrates its return to its place of origin? Or is this another space projectile? The reality, this really is a small moon mentioned by Quetzal, which will arrive into the gravitational field again, the gravitational field of Jupiter again with great certainty. So, let's stop there. And I think that's enough to give us a little thought for some interest for the next program. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the program. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark.